Now we have something a little bit brighter in the 10th chapter. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven. Now, I've had people challenge me about the different ones in the book of Revelation where I believed an angel to be Christ. I believe you would wholeheartedly agree with me that this angel is Christ. Now, I've emphasized this. The word angel means a messenger. It doesn't have reference to a nature, but to an office as far as the name is concerned. There is a group of personalities in heaven and in the earth too, the wicked fallen angels and some in the bottomless pit that are called angels. And so Christ is here called an angel. A rainbow was upon his head, speaking of there was still mercy. His face as it were the sun and his feet as pillars of fire, as if they were on fire. Had in his hand a little book. In all these places where he appears as an angel, he has something in his hand, I believe. Back in the 3rd chapter, an angel comes at the altar, and he has a censer. Here, he has a book. And notice he rests at his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth. I'm going to ask somebody to read Joshua. Turn to Joshua 1, if you will. Someone take Joshua 14. Speak up, if you will, please. And somebody take Deuteronomy 11. Read Joshua 1:24, or 1:3 rather. Notice, taking possession. You walk on it. Joshua 14:9. Now read Deuteronomy 11:24. Now this is the way God told them to take possession. And here this mighty being sets his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth. Could you quite imagine, envision, the proportions of this man that John saw? He must have been as tall in John's concept as a massive skyscraper to be big enough to set one foot on the sea and one foot on the land. Now, of course, you know Christ won't be that big physically, but spiritually he's that big. And he cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. We could turn to different places in the scripture. Then shall the Lord roar, we read in the 14th chapter. When he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. When the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. They uttered intelligent utterances having to do with Christ and his kingdom and taking charge of the earth some way, but they are not revealed. Heard a voice from heaven saying, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered and write them not. I often think of this in Deuteronomy. The things that are revealed belong to us and our children forever, but the secret things belong unto the Lord. The angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the earth, rather heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. Now this doesn't mean that suddenly time's going to quit. Time's going to go on into the millennial age. The Gentile times are going to come to an end when Christ takes his throne. And let's put it like this. Did you ever catch a train? I took a young woman to catch a train one time, but there wasn't time. The train was gone. I looked at my ticket, and my son-in-law took me to the airport in Washington, D.C. I handed it to the agent. He said, oh, this plane's been gone 2 hours. There wasn't time. It means that there's coming up to a time, things are going to be, Jesus Christ is going to take charge. The nations have been given their time. The Gentile times are going to run out. And there, it isn't that just time is going to come to an end. Many songs have been written around about this. You take that song, it's a great favorite of Christendom. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair. Now you know that that song is unscriptural. I like the lilt of the song. It's easy to sing. Somebody said to me one time, they got so tired of my saying that song isn't scriptural. No, it doesn't mean that time is going to come to an end. It means the times of the Gentiles. God is not going to give the world time any longer just to carry on and run headlong. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished, as he had declared to his servants the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again, go and take the little book, which is open in the hand of the angel, which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up. It shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. Well, somebody turn to Jeremiah 15, 16. Speak up if you will. All right. And someone take Ezekiel 2, 9 and 10. And Ezekiel 3, 1 and 3. Not the second verse. We'll read these quickly. That's how the statement in Jeremiah 15, 16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. Read Ezekiel 2, 9 and 10. I read 3, 1. In a sense, they ate their message, and that's what John did. Made his belly bitter, but in his mouth it was sweet as honey. There should be some difficulty in delivering the message and in digesting it, but isn't it sweet to eat it? I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up. It was in my mouth sweet as honey, and as soon as I'd eaten it, my belly was bitter. He said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. His book is his word and in person, and he was going to prophesy again or preach to people.